Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back as my guest Dr. Norm Shealy. We'll be discussing his new book, which is going to be released shortly. It's called From Birth to Bliss, The Power of Conscientious Living. Dr. Shealy is the author of at least 22 books, maybe more by now, and he is basically the father of holistic medicine. He is expert in pain management and neurosurgeon. He is the founder of Holios University and is the co-founder of the American Board for Scientific Medical Intuition, as well as the professor emeritus of energy medicine with Greenwich University. He has many other firsts, and today we're going to be talking with him about a series of treatments which he calls transcutaneous acupuncture, and I'm really excited about these treatments because they have an ability to holistically increase function in the body, broad categories of function like decreasing free radicals, increasing hormones that are difficult to increase, and treating common problems that kind of plague us: anxiety, depression, osteoporosis, and other significant problems that we have without good answers. Welcome, Dr. Shealy. Thanks for joining us.
Always great to be with you, Susan.
So I guess we'll start out talking a little bit about the word conscientious and what it means and how it relates to how you found it relates to longevity and health.
Well, the evidence gradually over the last 90 years is that the single most important factor in both health and longevity and even lifetime income is conscientiousness. A Dr. Terman actually in 1921 asked teachers in San Diego to give him the names of some of their best students, and he picked 1,500 children who were about age 10, and they have been followed every year for 80-plus years. And the single determining factor in how healthy they lived and how long they lived and lifetime income is whether or not they're conscientious. Only about 20% of them were what you might call optimally conscientious. But he found it was more important than diet, more important than weight, more important than exercise, more important than religion, is conscientiousness. And basically, conscientiousness is what I would call a Boy Scout Be Prepared motto. I mean, I learned it early in life, and it just means you're organized, responsible, take care of things when you're supposed to, and that kind of thing. And what's happened, in my opinion, in the last 50 or 60 years is, as a country, we have not become more responsible. We've become individually far less responsible. And that's one of the reasons that now we've got smoking down. After 60 years of a national campaign against smoking, we've cut the incidence 50%. So it's no longer the number one cause of premature death. Obesity is the cause of premature death. And obesity is largely because people are not taking responsibility for what they eat. And I recognize that's a problem because 80% of the food that's out there is not what I'd call real food.
That's true. And I guess if we had a conscientious government, we wouldn't be in the situation where we're not paying the government workers, wouldn't we?
Well, if we had a conscientious...
couldn't help but notice that.
Yes, as my father used to say, if your auntie were a man, she would be your uncle. And I think
right.
It's going to take a surgical transplant to get our government to work properly.
No kidding. Well, I think that's a very important point about conscientiousness. As surgeons, you and I learned early that we have to be conscientious, or otherwise our patients don't do well. But
yeah.
I think that I think that conscientiousness is not really taught in the manner that it needs to be. I often recommend it to people who are lacking in this quality and also lacking in direction of life that they may consider a short especially if we're not at war, is short-term in the military, because the military does teach conscientiousness and organization and responsibility. And so if you don't get home training, the military is one choice, if it's convenient for you. But other than that, I don't know too many other ways to learn it.
Well, I just endowed a chair of conscientious psychology at Missouri State University. Because
really?
Nobody has studied how do you take someone who is not conscientious and help them become so. Now, I have lots of personal beliefs in how it can happen, but it's going to take years of research to prove it. But it seems to me, Susan, the real problem actually begins in the first 7 years and 9 months of life. We now know that every known emotional disorder, from autism to ADHD to anxiety, depression, borderline personality, inadequate personality, even schizophrenia, is associated with low levels of oxytocin.
Mm-hmm.
And that begins because either there's a major trauma in the first 7 years of life or a major trauma from the beginning of pregnancy. So if the pregnancy is a traumatic pregnancy, and 40% of children today are born out of a traumatic pregnancy, in my opinion, I mean, I can't imagine any woman being ecstatically happy to be pregnant without wanting to.
Right.
And if she is put to sleep to have the baby, and sometimes that's necessary, of course, or if she's induced, then she doesn't produce oxytocin during delivery.
Right.
And the baby doesn't get that welcoming oxytocin. Oxytocin is a nurturing bonding hormone. And there have been a number of studies showing that you can actually help these people with every one of these emotional disorders by giving them nasal sprays of oxytocin. The problem is these are short-term studies because giving a nasal spray doesn't make the body produce it. And
right.
It has to be done four times a day. And I can't imagine spraying something long-term in the nose four times a day not causing some real problems with nasal mucosa. And so that's why 2 years ago and a couple of months ago, I suddenly had this inspiration that if we stimulated a specific set of acupuncture points, it would raise oxytocin, and lo and behold, it does. And so to me, that's the foundation, because all of these problems of people who are not conscientious actually is because of low self-esteem. And low self-esteem is you don't actually love yourself.
Right.
If you don't love yourself, you really are not capable of a healthy love relationship with other people.
That's very true.
And we now know that just stimulating these 13 points, 80% of people with longstanding depression or anxiety recover, and they start making their own oxytocin. Now, I may have to continue stimulating these points, but heck, it takes 30 seconds to do it.
So basically, you have a blend of certain essential oils that you were guided to put together, and then you, through guidance, got which acupuncture points, but that also is some knowledge of what the acupuncture meridians do.
Exactly.
And you put the oil on these points daily, and then you've measured a rise in oxytocin. And wasn't there another hormone? Is it neurotensin?
Oh, yeah.
You want to tell?
For instance, there's another circuit which I call fire, the fire energy circuit, and that raises DHEA, or dehydroepiandrosterone, which is also low in 100% of people with any chronic disease. And even in an acute situation, your DHEA goes down. And every known disease, not just psychological, but all of the inflammatories and all of those are associated with low DHEA. So that's one of the most important, because we could get 80% of people with diabetic neuropathy, which is almost impossible to treat otherwise. 80% of them get rid of their pain by stimulating the fire circuit. But we can also get 75% of people with migraine, bringing it under control. 70% mm-hmm. of people with depression. So depression can be either fire or air energy problems. We can get a lot of people with pain, again, either with fire or air or earth. And different mm-hmm. types of pain may be involved in each of these energetic circuits. But to me, and rheumatoid arthritis, that's one of the most important. Because 70% of people with rheumatoid arthritis who have failed conventional medicine markedly improved by activating the fire circuit.
Well, I'm going to try that on some of my patients after reading your book. I think that you're absolutely right. That is a very difficult group of patients. I do want to also mention that, you know, I've had uterine fibroids, so I can't take DHEA. I was taking some supplements that I didn't realize had DHEA in it, and the fibroids started to grow. And as you know, people, men with certain women with breast cancer and certain men with prostate cancer probably should not also take DHEA supplements.
So this is a really good way to treat. I agree. You don't take it, but if you activate the body's ability to make it, it will not overproduce.
That's right. I have
done hundreds and hundreds of people who had low DHEA, and by activating the fire circuit, they will, over a period of 3 months, it takes 3 months mm-hmm. to do the job, significantly mm-hmm. increase their DHEA output and never overproduce.
Right. Well, that's very important because you don't want to just take hormones, any hormone, indiscriminately, and probably not without being under a doctor's care, because there are contraindications that are quite important. So, but this is a safe way to do that. So that you have the ring of fire, which increases DHEA. Now that's going to help anxiety, depression, diabetic neuropathy. What are some of the other rheumatoid arthritis? What are some of the other conditions?
Migraine, of course, is a big one.
Migraine.
You know, migraine is a big fire disease.
Yeah.
And any major inflammatory process, of course, is going to be either an excess or a deficiency of fire.
Okay, so a lot of the autoimmune diseases then.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, but just isn't that interesting, of course, because the immune diseases are either a deficiency in fire that leads to mm-hmm. cancer and things like that, or an excess of fire, which would be allergies or blocked fire in migraine.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are the water diseases, and those mm-hmm. are congestion and
swelling,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that is aldosterone, by the way.
Right.
And, of all of the disorders, this is one of the most interesting, because the aldosterone disorders are either excess or deficiency. They can be either.
Mm-hmm.
And when you balance, if you will, the water energy, it brings the aldosterone either up if it's low or down to normal mm-hmm. if it's high.
Right.
So this can be good, useful in congestive heart failure and that kind of thing.
And much of what we're talking about today is concepts in traditional Chinese medicine, where you're not trying to just add something, you're trying to balance a system.
Exactly. And it's always that way. I mean, with acupuncture, and, you know, I started doing acupuncture in 1967 mm-hmm. Because it made sense. And so in acupuncture, the concept is that you have either an increase excess energy or a deficiency or a block in the flow of energy. And so what you're after is getting it to flow normally.
Mm-hmm.
And then the earth circuit, the diseases of the earth circuit are pain in general, because mm-hmm. the... you know, something's wrong. It can be any kind of pressure. It can be part of inflammation. It can be a lack of energetic flow from nerve injury, that mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the hormone there is calcitonin.
Right.
And calcitonin is 40 to 60 times as powerful as morphine in relieving pain.
My goodness.
But also, it's crucial for your bones. And the most common cause of death in the elderly is a fractured hip.
Right.
So, but if you don't have normal thyroid function, then even stimulating the fire circuit, the earth circuit, you may not be able to raise calcitonin, so you've got to get your thyroid going.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes with some people, you need the combination of fire and earth to get the endocrine system going as well as the earth energy grounded again.
Well, just about everybody over the age of 55 could benefit then from the earth stimulation, because we're all prone to bone disorders. I mean,
exactly.
As we age.
Absolutely. Critically important. We've got some longer-term studies now showing, and it takes a year, sometimes two, with people who have advanced with stimulating the earth circuit to get the bones back into health again. And, of course, they've got to have vitamin D3
right.
and some boron,
boron
you know, with
yeah.
it. But still, it's critically important and so much safer than Fosamax or any of those other drug things for osteoporosis.
Yeah, I think it's just amazing that you've hooked it into the endocrine system, you know, with calcitonin and aldosterone and neurotensin and all the modulators that you show an increase in. That's great.
And, of course, the last one is crystal.
Mm-hmm.
And the crystal circuit is for free radical reduction. You know, theoretically, if we could just keep our free radicals really low, we should live healthily a long, long time. The problem
right.
with every known disorder is excess free radicals, because they're what I call resting the body.
Right, that's true.
And we've got now over 1 year study in people showing that once they get the free radicals down, and it takes about a month, get about half down in a month, in 2 weeks, and down 80% in 4 weeks. Now we've got people who go for a full year keeping their free radicals 80% reduced.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, is applicable to every disease.
So this is a broad anti-aging and anti-cancer, anti-heart disease, vessel disease. Anything
exactly.
else? Anything else that you?
Well, I think you
found
say
specific to that.
Degeneration in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So arthritis, wow. degenerative arthritis, and
exactly.
Yeah. What about diseases like Alzheimer's? Is there a free radical component in that, or?
Yes. Well, that's a free. Definitely, there's an increase in free radicals that are damaging the brain.
Uh huh.
And so it's a combination, but it's actually a combination, I think, of primarily fire and crystal that are out of balance in Alzheimer's disease.
I know Dr. Perlmutter just is putting forth a concept that the glycemic connection to Alzheimer's, you know, too much sugar, too many carbs, causing a problem in the brain.
And, of course, what is that doing? Overstimulating the fire system because it burns out the pancreas.
Right, right. So that does fit together with what he's finding.
Exactly. Absolutely. I mean, everything, you know, of course, ultimately, everything's related to everything, and I don't think that you can stimulate all five of these circuits and still eat junk. And,
right.
I mean, you know, as I often say to a smoker, you know, I don't have anything as strong as the poison that you're taking with every breath.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're, you know, I don't think you can totally counteract that kind of habit. You can help, but you can't overcome it without stopping the smoking. And then let's talk about the irritation that comes from wheat in so many people.
Mm-hmm.
We now know that one-third minimum of all Americans are highly sensitive to wheat. Every known autoimmune disease, whether it's Hashimoto's, multiple sclerosis, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, yet every one of them is associated with irritation, inflammation caused by wheat. Part of that is probably because wheat has changed so much over the last several decades. But
it's really true. One of my friends just got back from Europe, and she said her sister can't eat wheat anywhere in the U.S., but was eating all sorts of wheat in Italy and France with no problems.
Right, but they haven't been so contaminated
right.
yet.
yet.
yeah. And then, of course, so we know that wheat not only irritates the whole system and causes inflammation, but it also causes obesity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at the top of my list of people with an autoimmune disease, first of all, get off wheat yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, take vitamin D3, 50,000 units once a week, or a minimum of 5,000 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I would use the ring of fire and probably the ring of crystal to activate those particular circuits so that they can optimize the whole metabolism.
So are you selling the kits? I know you're selling them individually, but I saw on Amazon there's a kit that you have for all of them. Is that
Yeah, we sell
available?
Individuals. We also sell all five as a package.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, for health professionals and, you know, physicians and other licensed health professionals, we also have special deals.
Right. Yeah, we've been carrying the Air Bliss for a while. And, like I said, I wanted to go ahead and get the other ones because there's patients that would benefit from them, definitely.
Yeah, I've got a number of physicians now who are doing this. In fact, one of the local family docs is sending two of his staff to be trained next week.
Great.
And I did a workshop up in Alaska in August and trained 30 people up there in the use of the oil.
Yeah. Can you give your website information? Because I'm sure your trainings are listed on your website, as well as more information about everything we're talking
right.
about today.
Just Norm Shealy, NormShealy.com.
And you have a newsletter that goes out, too. You want to tell
them
about that?
Yeah, it's a free newsletter. Letter. On Wednesday every week, I give out what I consider my most important health or medical advice of the week. In between, I may do another medical advice, or I may, talk about books or meetings that I think are important enough that people need to know about them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's free. The archives are there for the last 8 years. And, of course, I also have my optimal health recommendation, which gives many, many of the holistic approaches that I recommend for all kinds of disorders.
Great. So one of the things that we've been hearing a lot about is the problems with, you mentioned it with free radicals. You have some other devices that we talked about in earlier shows that help with some of these things. Are you still producing the devices, or switched primarily to?
Well, actually, I stopped last December producing the Shealy Pain Pro, which is the best TENS device that I know,
mm-hmm.
but it got to be such a hassle with the FDA because
the
oils actually do take care of the circuits well. But what they won't do is for those people who don't get an adequate response with Air Bliss, for instance, is for depression and anxiety, for that 20% of people who don't respond to Air Bliss, the Lift cranial stimulator is superb. And so I do think it is still available. It was
mm-hmm.
when Saul List died a few years ago, it was taken over by Fisher Wallace. And although they changed the name on it, it is the List stimulator. I've checked it to be sure. And
mm-hmm.
so they can get that. And for jet lag and for depression and anxiety and insomnia, the List cranial stimulator is by far the best device in the world. I've been using it since 1975. and I wouldn't want to be without it. If I miss it, you know, if I didn't get a good night's sleep for whatever reason, all I got to do is put on the Lyst stimulator while I'm getting breakfast, and that raises my serotonin and beta endorphin and makes me feel good all day.
So is that available on your site as well, or is there another site they need to go for that?
Well, because it requires a prescription, I just tell people to go to the Fisher Wallace, Fisher-Wallace, Wallace site, because they can arrange for a physician to talk to you to get you the prescription.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, any physician can prescribe it, of course, but not all of them know about it.
Okay. And is this something that when you're actually treating anxiety and depression, you use once a day, or do you use it more than once a day?
Now, the Lyst stimulator is primarily used in the morning. Ideally, I think, between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m., although you can use it up until noon.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to use the Lyst afternoon for most people, because actually then your serotonin level won't start going down at by 10 o'clock at night. What you want to do is get your serotonin to maximum level early in the day. Because under ordinary circumstance, that's what's happened. When you wake up in the morning, if you wake up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, so to speak, and most people do between 6 and 8 a.m., your serotonin level goes up, and it's as high as it's going to get within an hour of your waking up. And it stays up until somewhere about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Some people it goes down faster, but in general it goes down very slowly, from 4 p.m. till about 9 or 10 p.m., which it reaches its lowest level, and then it converts into melatonin. And that's when you get sleepy and sleep well. So what you're doing with the Lyst stimulator is resetting the normal diurnal rhythm of the serotonin-melatonin system. It's a great, great tool, and one of my favorites.
Clinically, one of the problems that is actually getting worse, and I'd like to get your ideas on why it's getting worse, is insomnia. It seems like more and more people are having problems with insomnia. Something happened earlier this week. I think it was yesterday, about 5 o'clock in the morning. A number of us, my nurses, my tech, some of the other patients, were suddenly woken up just before 5 a.m. and couldn't get back to sleep. And so because this is happening probably as an energetic phenomena, because it affects multiple people over large distances. I think insomnia and these energy surges are something that we may be seeing more of. What sort of have you considered any transcutaneous acupuncture for insomnia?
Well, yes, I would definitely use Air Bliss at bedtime for that. On the other hand, what we're dealing with is an excess of electromagnetic energy in the 60-cycle range, among others. In fact, 11 years ago, in the city of Springfield, Springfield at that time was about 150,000, now almost 160,000. All of a sudden, over a period of a few months, the background noise in this entire city came up to between 2.5 and 3 milligauss of 60-cycle activity everywhere. Some places higher than that. And 2.5 to 3 milligauss of electromagnetic 60-cycle energy is enough to irritate a lot of people. And when it gets to 6 milligauss, it can be quite irritating. And if you've got an electric clock within 3 feet of your head, for instance, that's enough to disturb your serotonin-melatonin mechanism. If you've got a light on in the room other than a very dull red light, that's enough to disturb your melatonin system. So you don't want to have radios and TVs and, you know, any kind of electronic device, preferably within 6 feet of your head, or on the other side of your bed in another room. Some years ago, when I started looking at this 20 years ago, one night I just was playing around with my tri-field meter, and I suddenly found there was like 10 milligauss at my headboard. Well, in the room next door, Shardy happened at that time. This was before computers. We had she had an electric typewriter. And the electric typewriter is worse than a computer in putting out electromagnetic contamination. So we moved the electric typewriter away from the wall on the other side, and, of course, it came back down. So all of these things are affecting us. And, in fact, the reason when I decided to retire from clinical practice but continue in research, I could have used my clinic building. It was perfect. But it was in Springfield. And I didn't want 2.5 or 3 milligauss in my brain every day, all day.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a number of studies on the effects of electromagnetic energy on the brain. And a healthy person, you know, really healthy person, can tolerate brief exposures. But even the healthiest person at 50 milligauss will get a severely abnormal EEG.
Really?
And so being exposed all day to 3, 4, 5 milligauss, which is not uncommon, or sitting near a printer. You know, printers are far worse than computers. You should be at least 10 feet away from a printer in your office, because every time it prints, it sends out about 100 milligauss of electromagnetic energy.
Fortunately, you can, with the wireless things, you can send it to a printer in another room without
exactly.
too much problem.
You want to keep it 6 to 10 feet away.
In one of your newsletters you recently released, you shared with us the results of your Q-Link test. So this might be something that people could use for protection.
Exactly. Bill Tiller, who's one of the great physicists still going, got me to do the research on this. And we found, of course, that people who are depressed can have their brain waves severely worsened, chaotic, if you will, by exposure to even 3 milligauss of electromagnetic energy. And the Q pendant is the only one that I know which has been studied, and I have no financial interest in it, but I did the study because Bill wanted me to, and it will protect the brain from up to 50 milligauss near the head. So I wear a Q-Link all the time, no matter where I go, especially on a plane.
Oh, yeah,
because,
planes are really bad.
They're, 100 milligauss all over the plane when you take off.
And I can tell you, as a plastic surgeon here in Atlanta, there's a lot of pilots and flight attendants, and it's well known that aging occurs more rapidly in people who spend a lot of time in the, especially the transatlantic flights or the transpacific flights.
Oh, yeah.
They age much more quickly and get degenerative disease. They need to do your ring of crystal.
You bet.
That would be an antidote for that.
Well, this is interesting because actually a professor of medicine from Germany 25 years ago reported that flying at 30,000 feet or above, cosmic energy, in 6 hours, in roughly it's 6 hours across the Atlantic, you produce as many free radicals, he said, as smoking 200 cigarettes in 6 hours. So every time you take one of those flights at 30,000 feet, your body is producing a tremendous increase in free radicals. And, of course, that's why they're aging faster. I mean,
it's
free radicals
and
are
they
things.
Also get more melanoma. You know, that's another thing with pilots, probably because of the exposure to the light at that level without the ozone protection.
It clobbers the immune system.
Right, it does.
Yeah, not a good, you know, not a thing I would recommend anybody to elect it. And those people, of course, I'd recommend they take a minimum of 10,000 units of vitamin D a day.
Yeah, and also
that'll
wear
help.
A Q-Link. I think that a Q-Link around their neck is going to protect their immune
system.
Oh,
absolutely. I can't imagine flying without one of those.
And then Q-Link also makes something to go in your cell phone.
Yes.
And you should also put it on your Kindle and on your iPad and, you know, the other devices that you keep close to you.
Exactly. I'm a big believer that these are wonderful devices, but you want to protect yourself from that electromagnetic energy as much as possible.
Yeah, you really do. And I just remembered I have a Gauss meter over across the room there, and I'm going to test around my bed. So thank you for reminding me that.
Oh, yes. You want to have it well, as low as possible. Certainly below 2.
Yeah.
1 or below and is even better around your head.
Right. And you can buy a Gauss meter pretty inexpensively on Amazon. So
yes. I bought a second one recently so that I could have one at home and one at the office.
Right.
Because I use it every day practically. It's the one I've got is called a TRI hyphen field FIELD meter,
mm-hmm.
and I like to test everything around to be sure that it's not over contaminating the area.
Yeah, you should test your devices because sometimes they do put out more than they're supposed to. If they become defective, and you wouldn't know it otherwise.
Right? That's exactly
right.
There's
no way to tell. Yeah, yeah. So what else have you been working on lately? I know that you always have research projects that you're involved in.
Well, I'm just starting one sometime in the next 10 days. In fact, I'm doing the preliminary studies on it this weekend with a new pulsed electromagnetic frequency device. It's designed to be used, about 6 inches away from the body. And the first thing we're going to use it on is diabetic neuropathy.
Right.
Because diabetic neuropathy is a markedly increasing problem with the increase in diabetes.
Diabetes, yeah. Absolutely.
But I'm trying it on other kinds of neuropathy as well, because, about 50% of neuropathies are not diabetic. They are from some other toxic problem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
mold biotoxins cause that, too.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to be trying it on a variety of problems like that to, see whether we can essentially rebalance the electromagnetic system of the body as a whole. That's what we're after.
I had interviewed Dr. Danny Rudd, who worked with NASA, and they discovered that in a certain part of the, when the shuttle was at a certain part where it was high electromagnetic field or magnetic field, that the stem cell experiments went crazy and the stem cells reproduced like crazy. And in plastic surgery, we're doing fat transfer. We take fat from parts of the body where you don't need it and put it in parts of the body where you do need it, either the face or the breast. But just fat transfer alone has about a 50 to 60% survival rate, whereas you need it much higher to get a good result. So there's a real promise of using the pulsed electromagnetic frequencies to help the stem cells that you do transfer to replicate and to survive, so you get much less complication.
Interesting, because the company that produced the device I'm about to study has actually already begun doing research in stem cells, and they think they're able to increase stem cell activity with this. And, of course,
well, let them know if they want to do clinical research with us. We're going to be doing fat transfers, and we can certainly test it for them.
I will be speaking with the medical director in another hour, and I'll tell him about it.
Great.
Because that's good. What about the fact that you can extract stem cells from fat? I mean, I don't have any personal experience, but I know there's a lot of work that's been going on of taking out belly fat and taking out
belly
the stem
fat,
cells.
Yes.
And
right.
injecting them. If you took the stem cells out of the fat and injected those, would it do the same things over a longer period of time as injecting fat?
It would, but the problem is, well, there's a couple of ways to get stem cells out. One is using the Cytori system. Unfortunately, Cytori is still held up with the FDA, so we can't use that system. The other is to activate it with particular lasers. Evidently activate stem cells as well as the PEMF devices. But I prefer the more natural ways, like you say, the pulsed electromagnetic fields or the lasers, because it's just better to activate what you have normally rather than chemically change things.
Oh, yes. I like that.
There was, Dr. Rudd told me about this this complication that a plastic surgeon had. He extracted stem cells from the abdomen and put him through some chemical things that ended up causing the stem cells to make bone. And unfortunately, the fat had been injected around somebody's eye, you know, in the orbital area, and they started to go blind because of the stem cell fats making bone. So I think that is part of the reason the FDA has been so, you know, adamant about people not doing stem cell fat transfer until they complete the studies, because there have been problems like that.
Let's talk about possibly, and I don't know unequivocally about this, but I want to talk for a moment about the other device that we haven't talked about today, the one I call the Rejuvimatrix. Yeah. 7 years ago and 2 months ago, I began exposing the body to human DNA frequency, which is 54 to 78 billion cycles a circuit, but at a billionth of a watt. A billionth of a watt per centimeter square, which is 1,000 times below any known risk of those frequencies. And I've got some 35 people now who've been doing that, and on average, people who will spend 20 to 30 minutes a day being exposed to those frequencies are having their telomeres regenerate 4% a year instead of shrinking 1% a year. See, our telomeres, the minute we're born, over the next year, we lose about 1% of the length of our telomeres. They're 1% every year if you have good health habits. Mm-hmm. My telomeres are now 26% longer than expected because of this. And I've got a few people who've done better than I have even. So
That's
we know
wonderful.
That this probably is going to do something to your stem cell activity as well. I don't know how you measure stem cells, you know, other than taking a piece of the tissue out. But I do know we can measure the telomeres in our white blood cells, and theoretically, they are a good reflection of what's happening in the cells throughout your body. And so the people who are involved in this particular study with me are averaging a regeneration of telomeres of 4% every year of life instead of shrinking 1%. And I have a feeling, of course, that that's got to help the telomeres as well. The stem cells as well as the telomeres.
And that's the Rejuvimatrix?
That's the Rejuvimatrix, yes. And that's on my website.
And is it for sale by itself or just through the research project?
No, it's for sale because we've got enough research behind it after these years that I've made it available to the public.
Right.
And we don't know whether doing it less frequently. We know that, you know, the people who've been involved in the research study are doing it at least 5 days a week.
Right.
I have no idea whether doing it 1 day a week would have an effect, although I have a few friends who are bringing in people and letting them use it for an hour, maybe once a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and you basically have been just measuring the telomere length. Is that right?
Exactly.
We measure
both the granulocytes and the lymphocytes. Yes.
Okay. I would imagine one thing you could do is to take the same facial photograph, given that they weren't doing anything, you know, with plastic surgery. The same view, the same, you know, there's ways to do that with photography, and especially on the oblique view for the crow's feet, that would be probably the best view. Because there's two things. The crow's feet are one, but then also the nasolabial fold, the depth of that.
Right.
And I do believe that there's computer computer programs that can, you know, can analyze photographs for age. I have one on my iPhone. You put your picture in, and it does this algorithm, and it tells you how old you are.
Interesting.
Kind of cute. Yeah. So
That's only a plastic surgeon. That's typical of a plastic surgeon. You would know that.
I would know that. That's right.
I love it. I think that's great.
Well, you know, we each have our area of specialization, and the problem is we don't talk to each other often enough to,
exactly.
to cross-pollinate ideas, right?
And that is important. That is tremendously important.
It is. Well, when is your book, From Birth to Bliss, The Power of Conscientious Living, coming out?
June 5th. Unfortunately, Once Upon a Time was going to come out this fall, but the publisher decided to wait until, you know, next season. They're beginning to start promoting it, but the launch mm-hmm. day is June 5th. Once Upon a mm-hmm. Time, they wanted to make it June 1st, but I looked at astrological influences. That, you know, I'm a big believer that you don't release any new information or sign any contracts during a void of course moon.
Right, right.
And
that's
so
very important.
June 5th is the official launch date. I'm sure
right.
they'll be out, you know, talking about it in the first few months of next year.
Great. Well, maybe we can replay this show around June then.
That would be
so
terrific.
We get the benefit of it. Yeah, yeah.
I'll see that you get a copy of it as soon as I get
Great.
It off the press.
Great.
But,
that'd be wonderful.
I think let's go back and relate all of this to the same, to one concept, because I think that's what's the most important.
Right.
And that concept is basically, I'm okay. I don't care what else is going on. If mm-hmm. you don't feel okay about yourself, you're in trouble.
Right.
And so, I mean, what happens to children who are neglected or abused? They become depressed.
Mm-hmm.
They become juvenile delinquents. They become one or the other, or both.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. so, ultimately, it's learning to feel good about yourself. And for that, to me, the single most important thing that people can do who don't feel good about themselves is air bliss. But there are mm-hmm. other tools that they can use. And for instance, the most studied self-regulation tool, if you will, that's been around for 101 years, is autogenic training.
Mm-hmm.
We have more evidence, more scientific proof of the benefits of autogenic training than any other self-regulatory approach. 80% of people who will do autogenic training, and it takes 6 to 12 weeks, just as it does to restore your DHEA. That's the sort of magic time, about 3 months for most things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People who will do autogenic training daily improve as students, they improve as athletes, they improve in business, they improve in life in general, and interestingly, they also spontaneously, after about 6 months, begin to meditate without even having to go there. It happens automatically.
There's a big benefit in that, I can tell you that.
Well, Schultz, J.H. Schultz, started in 1912 with his research on this. His first book was published in 1932, and then by 1969, the first of 6 volumes with 2,600 scientific references came out. And so there are all kinds of self-regulatory techniques, but the one that's so simple and so studied is autogenic training. So to me, the first step in becoming conscientious is both to use air bliss and consider a tool like autogenic training as a daily assistant in retraining the body and the mind.
Mm-hmm. So where do people get that information? Where do you recommend?
Well, you can, of course, I made a CD of autogenic training called Basic Schultz in honor of Dr. Schultz. And it's an 18-minute.
Okay. That's a good start. Yeah.
You know, it's an 18-minute tape. I mean, let me mm-hmm. give you just a little background on that, because I did another research study, which, by the way, you need to know about this one, too, last year on high blood pressure, because as you undoubtedly know, most physicians do, less than 50% of people with hypertension have it controlled mm-hmm. with antihypertensive drugs. less than 50%. So I studied people who, some of people who were on and some people weren't on antihypertensive drugs.
Mm-hmm.
70% of them, I could bring their blood pressure control under control, most of them within 30 minutes, by using an extract of noni, a very concentrated extract of noni called Nitro Extreme. Brings down the blood pressure within 5 to 30 minutes in 70% of people. I have now personally tested 230 people. It's absolutely consistent. When I do a number of people at one time, 70% of them get an immediate response.
Mm-hmm.
In the 30% who don't respond, I can get 90% of the others under control by adding to them taurine, vitamin C with MSM, and a good B-complex.
Mm-hmm.
So 5,000 milligrams of taurine a day, 150 milligrams of a B-complex, and 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C with a gram of MSM. So we get another, 97% of people bring their blood pressure under control with nutraceuticals, so to speak, instead of with drugs. It's safe.
Now, you put the taurine, vitamin C, and MSM in a formula, is that right?
Well, the vitamin C and the MSM are in a formula called Youth Formula. But
okay.
I have not, it's just too big a capsule, so I give the taurine separately.
Okay. Youth Formula.
But it is phenomenal.
Okay.
Taurine comes in 1,000 milligram capsules, so five of those. Four of the youth formula, and then two of a good B-complex like my essentials, and that will bring down the blood pressure in a huge number of people because they're obviously deficient. You know, 84% of people who are depressed are deficient in taurine, and taurine is critical for maintaining the electrical charge on your cells. You know, our cells have a negative charge on them, minus 60 millivolts. And if you don't have magnesium, which is deficient in 80% of people, or you don't have taurine, which is apparently is deficient in a huge bunch of people, the electrical charge on your cells is low, which means they fire more easily, which is what's happening in both depression and anxiety. I want to send you some information on Nitro Extreme. I think you'd find that really beneficial.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. We are at the end of the hour, so we're going to have to wrap up. Can you give your information one more time? NormSheely.com, is that right?
NormSheely, NormSheely.com. And they can sign up for my free email newsletter and my... They can look at the links for the old newsletters and the Optimal Health link that gives them lots of recommendations for alternative approaches to all kinds of diseases.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Norm. I really appreciate your time. And everybody, keep your eyes out next summer for From Birth to Bliss, The Power of Conscientious Living, and check out Dr. Sheely's website for a great amount of wonderful information.
Thank you, Susan. It's always good to talk with you. Have a good week.
It is. Thank you. Next week, we'll be interviewing Penny Pierce on Leap of Perception. And join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.